Chavres, it's chus to be together. It's chus to be so many of the chavres. I guess to say, unfortunately, still back from Eretz Yisrael. But Baruch Hashem, we have flights this upcoming week. Each and every one of you should have Siyata Shemaya. And just never stop growing. Bizoichir, never have to come back here again. Yeah, we should all be there, Bekarov, with you. By next Thursday night, we'll have Shir and Yishalayim Erkoidish, Meretz Hashem. Want to thank. Tonight we have, first of all, the Kiddush that we had and all the brachas that we made is being sponsored. Lila Nishmas, Ariel Haimov's father, by the Haimov Mishpacha, Yitzchak Ben Moshe, Zeichet Tzadikash Vracha. His Yartzeit is coming up, this upcoming Shabbos Kodesh. And Mirtz Hashem, all the brachas, and as well this sponsoring all the Torah and all the Chizuk and all the Soros and all the Torah and the Chizuk Soros, all the learning. It should be a big schus for his neshama. He should continue to be a big male tzayish, Ariel, for you and for your beautiful mishpacha. I'm not going to embarrass Ariel, but to go through what Ariel went through at a young age, it's not pashit. And as a Rebbe, mitamida yos mikulam, I learned from Ariel a lot of what it is and how it is to deal with nisyonos, very big nisyonos of life, with emunah, with Hashem by your side, and that's how he and his family, in such an incredible way. And Amir Hashem again, so all the Torah and all the brachos, everything should be a good schus for your father, he should be, continue to be a big ma'as yosher until we're zoich and be tasked together with Mashiach Sidkeinu b'mher b'yameinu. Well, the Torah tonight is also being sponsored, Lila Nishmas. Yidid Nafshi, my close Talmud, Rabari Mirzov and his wife Rachi, who's Rabbi Ari's Saba, his grandfather, his mother's father's yartzeit was today. Rav Ruvain ben Rav Chaim, Zeches Adikash Vracha. And all the Torah and the Chizik Sora should be as chus for his neshama. He should continue to be a male tzayisher for their beautiful mishpacha. And I'll just tell you one quick thought that Rav Ari shared with me yesterday about his grandfather, because it's very appropriate. Today was Yom HaShoah. And of course, it's a big discussion. I'm not going to get into whether Yom HaShoah or, as many tzaddikim say, really, we already have a Yom HaShoah, and that's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is our halachic day to commemorate all the tragedies that have ever befallen Klal Yisrael. Churban Beis HaMikdash, Spanish Inquisition, Holocaust, all. We have our day. We have our time period. Bein HaMitzarim. The 9 days. But the MS is, there's no question, you know, us, our dar. Our dar, which you, us, are going to be the final dar that could say we spoke to people who saw what went down there alive. Your children at your age, if we're not zoichel Mashiach Sakeinu and Mirtz Hashem, we will be. But if lo aleinu, we're not. Just think about this. Your children at your age will not be able to say they spoke to Holocaust survivors. Will not be able to say they heard firsthand from people who saw it with their own eyes. You all have. And that's an achrayus. It's achrayus not just on Yom HaShoah, on every single, more often to talk about and learn about. And I'll tell you guys something. Obviously the Holocaust is avelus that we can't even understand. But I'm going to share and I'm going to explain this. I'll say, I love the Holocaust. What do I mean by that? Not chas v'shalom, I'm not a sick person. It was the worst thing that's happened to Klal Yisrael. But I love learning about the Holocaust, and I love hearing about the Holocaust, and I love hearing the stories, and probably of the most inspiration in my life is connected to the Holocaust. Not the sadness of it. Of course, and I'm not disregarding that, and I don't dismiss that, and I think about that. But what I mean is the tremendous inspiration of the tzaddikim that went through that Gehenna al Aretz, went through literally hell on earth that we can't understand, and were moiser nefesh in the most grandest of ways for Torah and for mitzvahs, in ways that we can't comprehend. And when you learn about a tzaddik, you learn about a tzaddik, like I had this chus to be close to Rav Label Zisman, Zeicher Tzadik Kadosh Bracha, who lived a few blocks away, who went through 5 concentration camps with more emunah bitachon than I have at on the Ilah of Yom Kippur, Eitzel Kodesh Kedoshim. He had more emunah bitachon on a Sunday afternoon. He was just bleeding emunah bitachon. He gave me more emunah bitachon than anyone else in this world. That's Emes. Anyone else in this world, any person that gave me emunah bitachon was from Mumla. Every year I'd bring him into my share and he'd tell his stories and it wasn't a dry eye. You guys, Chever knows my share, right? Chever knows my share year in and year out. Some of the Chever was in my share. So imagine on a Friday, not like a, right, a Friday, which Friday in share, they torture you, right? 3 hours. So they try chaburas, but imagine like a Friday with no chaburas. It's just tour. And imagine Friday, no chaburas, no kiddush. So 9 to 12. You know what that is? That's what we think is Gehenim, right? That's what we think is Gehenim. So 9 to 12 on a Friday, you're not like 1 foot out, you're 6 feet out. And then remember my shear, right? We're Shai Eliezer, right? You know, you remember? Yeah. See here? Sweet. The top. Chevron, no. Some of the Chevron was there. Right? Wait, listen to this. So I remember I brought him in the first time on a Friday, and I'm thinking, why am I doing this on a Friday? This was the worst decision I've ever made. And it starts 9 o'clock in the morning, speaking. I'll never forget the first time. I remember the shear it was. I'm not going to go. He went from 9 to 12. Straight! Not a guy left the room. Not one. The whole time. And at 12, all the guys huddled around and we continuously talked to him and learning from him, growing and asking questions. Nobody wanted to leave. Because it was like talking to like the closest thing to the Rabbonu Shalom you could ever talk to. Because of his emunah and bitachon and what he went through. And you could all go online and watch. There's a video online of him giving a lot of his stories, you know, on a college campus somewhere. I don't know where it was and what it was, but Label Zisman, read his book, I believe. He had tefillin in Auschwitz. He put on tefillin in Auschwitz every single day. He hid them in his boots. And he gave them out to other people. The Nava Minsk Rebbe Zechad Mishracha wore his tefillin. You know what that was? We sometimes were lazy getting up in the morning. And he was Moshe Nevesh to put on tefillin in Auschwitz. He had no chiv to. He had no reason to. Outside of it's Ratzon Hashem. And I want to connect to Hashem. And I'm going to be Moshe Nevesh. I'm going to give up my life to put on tefillin every single day. So it's a different tefillin when I put on tefillin when I hear that from Label Zisman. It's a different tefillin. Similar to a lot of the chaver heard from Rav Weinberger's father, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Bracha. And those tefillin that Rav Weinberger has, Label is story after story, I'm not going to go about. Rav Ari Mirzov's grandfather, he said, listen to what he said, and this is what I learned from in the Holocaust. This is what I walk away from in the Holocaust. He said, they took everything from me. They took my parents, they took my siblings. But they couldn't take my amunah. They couldn't take my amunah. Nobody could take my amunah. The Rebbeinu Shalom I have no matter what. And there are Yidin, Mamish, who went through, we complain. We complain about our lives. We live in communities with 6 pizza stores on every block. I mean, we live in the craziest of times. And we complain. Imagine, like, WhatsApp goes down for a half hour and I'm like, Mom is shaking, you know? And I want to share, I got to just share a story. I just have to talk, I can't not, it was Yom HaShoah today, but it's like we should talk about this way more often. And then we're going to learn, but this maybe, sometimes it's more important to learn from stories. Actually, that's the Rabbonu Shalom taught us, he opened up the Chumash, it's just a bunch of stories. That's what the Hashem taught us from the Rabbonu Shalom. So I heard a story a few nights ago that I'm still shaking from. It's a story. It's a psak halacha. It's a tshuva in the akdam of a sefer that I don't have the sefer. I have to get the sefer tomorrow. Can you get me the sefer tomorrow? I'm not. It's a sefer mekadshei Hashem. It's similar to the sefer mimakim. Similar to that. It's Shailos and Tshuvas of the Holocaust. Rav Meisel Zeicher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was the Av Bezdin of Auschwitz. And he was a survivor who then. But then was in Detroit somehow. I have these makoros, Mekadshei Hashem, Tzvi Hirsch Meislish. Dayan, Dayan of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. That's his title. You know, you got the Dayan of Chweifness. He was the Dayan of Munkach, and you have the Dayan of Monroe. He was the Dayan of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. You hear what I'm saying, Chavra? The Dayan of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. And the Shilas that came his way. What were the Shilas that came his way? The Shilas. Is suicide justified? Is abortion permitted? Compromises in Shabbos and holidays. What's the proper bracha to make when you're being moisher nefesh al tkiddush Hashem? What's the bracha? It's a mitzvah. To die al tkiddush Hashem. What bracha should I make? Imagine someone comes to you, you're the rabbi. Could you say the bracha shelo asani aved in Auschwitz? These are the questions. But listen to this question. Because today was the yahrzeit of one of my closest friends in the world's father, Jack Tarzich, that's all. My friend Corey's father. Some of the chevra knows him for sure from the years in camp in Avonet and maybe Misora back in the day. Today was his yahrzeit. And a couple nights ago, his mechutin, Corey's father-in-law, Sarah's father, who's a big Talmud Chacham, a very special person, incredible person, some of you have learned from, I'm sure, Rabbi J.J. Schachter. So Rabbi J.J. Schachter, you know the chevra, no? You know the family? Rabbi J.J. Schachter, he gave a shir on a few nights ago, Lila Nishmas Jack. And he shared this. I have it here. It was just, again, I want to get to Torah as well, even though this is more important Torah, but they're all Torahs. But maybe, if anyone, of course, sent it to me, I could photocopy. I mean, we have to get the safer, but to hear, read it inside, I'm just going to tell it over for the sake of time. Even though it's probably could die to hear from his words of Meisel's. What happened was, just to give a little background, in Auschwitz, by Rosh Hashanah, right before Rosh Hashanah of 1944, so the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, decided they want to get rid of the kids, the teenagers, enough. And only the strong ones, and the ones they felt could work well, we're going to keep. So what did they do? They decided what makes you strong, and it depends on your height. If you're short, you're probably not, you're no good to us. You know what they, Hashem Yirachim, we're Yidden, you know, it is what it is. They put up two poles with a bar across. And you had to pass through, and if you were under the bar, that was going to be it. And if you were above the bar, you would live. And some of the Yidden and Nebuch, they tried to go on their tippy toes. The Nazis were watching, they shoot them on the spot. Don't try to trick us. And this was right before Rosh Hashanah. And all the Jews who went under the bar, all these kids who were age 14 to 18, teenagers, they were all put into this room, locked up. And they were all going to be gassed. They were all going to go to the crematorium. That was going to be it. Imagine Rosh Hashanah morning, the fathers, the mothers of these kids, knowing their kids are all round up. Imagine what that was. The next morning was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah morning. And they're all there. And the fathers are walking outside. And they know their kids inside here. Now, there were kapos in charge of this, and the kapos were big Risham, we all know. But here, people are trying to get the kapos to get their kids out. But the kapos knew the Nazis, you know, they were meticulous with numbers, and if anyone was let out, they'd have to put someone else in place. So the kapos couldn't, even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it. You got yours going? But you know, some of the Yidden, they bribed the kapos. And they had money, they had bread, they had things, cigarettes, they bribed the kapos, and the kapos taka got some of the children, some of the teenagers out, and they had to put others in their place. Some of the ones that were tall enough and ended up in that room as well. And the kapos took them and put them in. Imagine this was going on. The Rebbe Rav Meisel says that a Pashita Yid, he explained him as a Pashita Yid here, he said, a Pashita Yid came to me, Rosh Hashanah morning. And he said to me, I have the ability to bribe a kapo and get my son out. I have a ben yachid. My only son, my life, is in there. It's going to be gaz tomorrow. And I have the ability to get him out. But I know if I get him out, another Jew will be put in his place. Am I allowed to? Am I allowed to? What's the halacha, Rebbe? And he said to Rav Mazels, I want to know halacha l'maisa, and whatever you tell me, I'm going to do ba'ava. I'm going to be makabel ba'ava and besimcha. Rav Mazels said back, he heard this shayla, and he was shaking. How do I paskin a shayla of din in nefashos? How I have, first of all, b'matzav, because I'm not clear-minded. I'm in Gehenim. Even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, a shayla like this would go to the Sanhedrin. Who am I? In Auschwitz, I have no svarim to look in. I have no other rabbanim to discuss this with. I have no yeshiva das. The man looked at him and says, yes, but you have to answer me. You're my Rebbe. I'm waiting for an answer. And he said back, I'm sorry, I'm not able to answer you. And he said to him, if you're not able to answer me, then I understand. If you can't tell me it's mutter, it must be usser, and a makabel with ava the psakten. And Rav Mazel said, he said, scream back, no, that's not what I said. I don't know. My leiber. Ich nicht gesenkt. I don't know. Ich bin nicht matir. I kinder. Nemon ech psakin nish lohein v'lalav. Ready, said back. But if you're not going to answer me, then it's not yes. And the rabbi then looked at him and said, I don't know the answer. That means you could do whatever you want. He says, no. I did what I have to do. I went to my rabbi. If my rabbi can't tell me it's mutter, you're my rav, then I can't do it. And Rav Mazel said the next day, the rest of the day, Rosh Hashanah, he saw this man all day long. All day long, he saw this man walking around, saying to himself, I'm makabel myself, besimcha on Rosh Hashanah today, to be makriv my son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way Avram Avinu was makriv Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah morning, I'm being makriv my son, besimcha. And the Rav goes on to say he knows what type of tumult this made in Shemayim and Pamalya Shemala. You can't even understand. However, if there are Yidden like this, you hear this? We learn it. Again, story after story. Every one of them blows our mind. Every story of the Yidden were Moser Nefesh to light Chanukah Licht. And Moser Nefesh to bake matzahs and to put on tefillin. But here, Mekabel Ba'ava B'Simcha, to give up my son, Monsieur Snafish, what a muna that takes! What closeness is karvus l'Hashem? Who are we? And it's hard for us to get up to 9 o'clock minyan in the morning sometimes. And it's hard for us to get on time to seder sometimes. And it's hard for us. It's hard for us to have shmir senayim. It's hard for us to have shmir senayim, and I struggle with that at times. We're out of our minds. Take the chizik of Yidden, who are being moisture nefesh every moment of their life in the times we can't even comprehend. And what we can't do, we can't just be who we're supposed to be and do it besimcha. If that man, that poshiri Yid, could be moisture nefesh, could be makriv his son, al tkidish Hashem, besimcha, on a safek psak halacha. I'm going to struggle tonight with my phone. I'm going to struggle with learning. I'm going to struggle with davening kavana. Enough! That's the chizik of the Holocaust. That's it, checkmate. Really Yidden. Really Yidden. So on that note, our avoid is MS to take that chizik. And now do our part. And give ourselves over to Torah mitzvahs. And that's why we're together, chevra. That's why this special chevra comes together. And late on Thursday nights, tonight was a little earlier, ben atmanim. Late on Thursday nights, our little Mesiras Nefesh, our little Mesiras Nefesh. Even the chevra comes in from Tinek, Baruch Hashem, and driving. But everybody in their own ways. It doesn't have to be just this, what we do here. In our ways. What we could do, we walk away from the Holocaust. Shkoyach, all the, you know what? It's beautiful. It is beautiful. It's important just to remember. It is important just to remember. It's important just to talk about. And it's important to all the shuls that have their Holocaust commemorations. And those are also important. Don't get me wrong. But the bigger avoida is to be machazik ourselves from it. And to be different people because of it. And to learn from it. And be moiser nefesh in our ways from it. And that's what we could do for these holy neshamas, for these kedoshim. Make their death not meaningless, as we live on and take chizik from them and continue what they've taught us. So let's learn Torah, chevra. And we're here just a few days after the Hail Yad of Pesach. We're b'mei Sfiras Omer Hoyd Shegvura. 12th day of the Omer we counted tonight. It's going so quickly already, chevra. It's going so quickly already. It goes quickly. Are we making the most of it? We have to grab on to these days in a very special way. And I want to speak about one avoida tonight. And I want to say this Torah, I've been excited to share this Torah for a few days already, for maybe even a couple weeks, kind of, a week and a half. During Chol HaMoed, I had this chus to be by the bris of a special Talmud of mine. Avram Tzvi Barth had his Bechar. Pretty sure Akiva Moshe named him, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I got that right. And I got to the bris. What? I got to the bris. And that was a little bit early. They weren't ready for the bris yet. They were davening still. So I sat down and learned. And I opened up a chumash. I was preparing for Shvishal Pesach. So I opened up Parshas B'Shalach. And I opened up to a few Orachayims and a few Psukim. And this is what came together. It's based on things I saw, but it came together in a way I've never before, and it's a lot of Siyata Shemaya, and I'm excited to share it with you. And hopefully we're gonna just mamish fly from it. So, you know, very famously, the pasuk says in Reviv Parshas B'Shalach Perek Yudal Pesach Chavav, VaYomer Hashem Moshe Neteyas Yodcha Al Yom VeYeshuva Amayim Al Mitzrayim Al Richbo VaPrashav. Hashem said to Moshe, stretch out your arm on the sea. And the sea will then tumult and plunge back together and drown all the Mitzrim and their chariots. And Vayei Moshe as Yodo Ayom, Vayosha Vayom Lifnos Boker Le Sano. So this is a very famous Rashi here and famous Medrash. Moshe stretched out his hand on the sea. And the sea went back to its normal state, to its normal power in the morning. Le Sano. And there's a Medrash there. What does Leisano mean? Chaver knows what this medrash, a very famous medrash. Litznai Harisha, meaning what? There was a tnai. There was a condition. That when the world was created, Hashem already said into the teva of the sea that there's going to come a time that you need a split. Remember, the waters were split initially, right? The waters were together initially. And then Hashem split them and left the Mayim Elyonim, Yayim Tachtonim. And he told the Mayim Tachtonim, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to split again. That was a Tanai. Because nature, Teva, which we call Teva, but it's all Eibishter, is that the sea should be down. But Hashem made part of the world that it's going to split. Tanai. Lay tunnel, it's Tanai. The problem is, here's the question, Baruch Hayim HaKadosh, first question. Why is this Tanai discussed here? What's going on here? The sea is closing. Where should we mention this Tanai when it splits initially? Why are we talking about the Tanai here? Number one. Number two, why do we need Moshe to stretch out his arm in order to close the sea
The sea obviously was opening up for Bnei Yisrael. Once Bnei Yisrael passed, wouldn't it know, okay, time to be normal again, go back to your normal sense? Why does Moshe need to stretch out his arm to close the sea on the Mitzrim? Wouldn't it do that naturally? There's different answers to those questions. Initially, I was going to talk about them. I don't even want to go there now, so we could build something very special. We have to understand the Medrash first. Ever bear with me, we're going to mamish get somewhere so special. You ready? You ever went to the mikveh today, I hope? It's big tyrus. I know you're questioning him, you don't even see a Zohar out. Sometimes mamish, you don't even need a Zohar and you need the mikveh. I mean, you always need the mikveh, but yeah, I'm even yavin. So the Medrash tells us, in Shmos Rabbah, Chav Aleph, Vav, when Moshe went to split the sea, Kevin Shalach Likras Ayam, Lo Kiba Lovely Kara. It didn't want to split. Amar Lo Hayam. The sea said, Mipanecha Ani Nikra. I'm going to split for you, Moshe. Why should I split for you? Ani Gadol Mimcha. I'm greater than you. Why? Shani Nivresi Bishlishi. I was created on the third day of creation. Vata Nivresa Bishishi. And you were created on the sixth day of creation. It's a good taina. It's a good taina. Does it match? I'm reading you from Medrash. It's not, I was created first, I'm greater than you. You don't tell me what to do. I'm not splitting. I'm reading it. It sounds like a the sea, Moshe heard this from the sea, went back to Hashem and said, Hashem, the sea doesn't want to. If I told you this, I wasn't reading for Medrash. You think I'm making this up as a story? Mamish, like a ein hayam rotzi, it doesn't want to split. What do you want me to do? Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Nasan yamina al yamina shel Moshe. Hashem took his right hand and put it on the right hand of Moshe. Miyad ra la Kadosh Baruch Hu barach. The sea saw that and it ran. That's it. God's getting involved. Forget it. Okay. What's the obvious question on this medrash? I just told you before another chazal that there's a tanai, there was a condition from the beginning of time that there's going to come a time when you're going to split. If there's going to come a time when you're going to split, why? The sea obviously knew that. Seemingly, this is the time. What do you mean? What are you saying to Moshe? I'm greater than you. I was created first. Don't you remember your tanai? Second question. Famous Gemara in Chulin, that the sea split for Pinchas ben Yair. It's all nice of a pigeon, I'm not going to get into right now. The sea split for Pinchas ben Yair. What, there was another tonight for this one tzaddik? Like, what was the big, if what was, you know, we make such a big deal, Chris Yamsev, Pinchas ben Yair also. And how did it split then? If there's only one tonight? Are you ready for this all to come together, Chevrit? Listen to these words of the Arachayim HaKadosh. I'm going to read you words that seemingly each and every one of you should find the Arachayim, should blow it up, plaster them on your heart, on your wall by your bed, on your phone, on anything you can, and then you'll be good for life. Listen to these words. This is the Arachayim. He says, you know what the Tanai was? You know what the condition was? It was. The condition was the sea wasn't, there's going to come a time you'll split it again one time by Kriyas Yamsuf. Listen to how this come together. Ah. Kodesh Kedashim. Tanai zehu b'chlal ha-tanayim shehisna Hashem al kol ma'ase bereishis. This Tanai is actually part of a Tanai that Hashem made with everything that was created. There was a Tanai, it's true. Like, but this Tanai was with the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, the grass, the trees, everything. That what? Listen to these words. Lihios kfufim l'toira v'amlecha. That you are bent over and subservient and determined to those, to the Torah and those who toil on it. V'lasos, and you have to do Kol asher yigzru aleim. Whatever they decree upon you. Umem sholtam aleim kemem sholat habore baruchu. And those who learn Torah rule over nature, rule over the world. Those who learn Torah rule over the world and control the world. Just like Hashem. Kimem shalas habore baruchu. Ulezet timsek mokem bashamayim uvaaret ubekochafim uveshema viereach sholtu aleim atadikim yechidim. Tzadikim rule over the world. Determine what's going to happen. Torah has that power. The world runs on Torah. The world is determined to do whatever Torah tells it to do. Whatever Oimle Torah tells it to do. We control nature. Not nature controls us. Orachayim HaKadosh, that's it tonight. Before we plug this in, Chever, now you understand. Ever people, you know, we read stories of tzaddikim. Read big stories of tzaddikim of previous generations of our dar, nisim gluya mamish, like with a snap of a finger. And some people, maybe who are a little bit of a litvish in the shama, a little bit of a kalta yid, don't believe it, don't buy in. Sardim, you guys are jumping. You're like. You believe you don't even need this year to know, but now you understand it at least. Those of us who understand this are chayim. Yeah, of course, it's no big deal, because Torah runs the world. Torah could do anything. Oimle Torah could decide that nature changes when they want to, and the world has to listen to them. The sea, the stars, the moon, the body, the sicknesses. It's crazy. It's emes. You go to Rabbi David Abu Chazera. Let's not go back generations. Let's not talk about the Baba Sali, who I know somebody who was there present, saw with his own eyes when a yid who was paralyzed in a wheelchair for years went into the Baba Sali, got a bracha from the Baba Sali, and walked out. I know someone who's lived in our community, who doesn't have a beard, who, trust me, is not a Hasidic Yid, and he told me he saw with his own eyes. He saw with his own eyes. The Baba Sali, he saw this. Because the Baba Sali had Torah, and the Baba Sali, therefore, has it tonight that the nature of the world has to be bent over to him. And those of us, so Baba Sali is not alive anymore. What do we have? So we can tell stories. We read it. You open up the books and you think it's fairy tales when you read about the Baal Shem getting in his gala and flying places. Yeah. Because he controlled nature. This is not, it's real. And the Baba Sali went on his flying car. Dabir Yaakov went on the flying carpet, right? Yes. David, you believe this. It's not like, I don't know. The Svardim. Yes, the Svardim. What is it? But now we understand it's an Arachayim. It's the words of the Arachayim. Look, this is... I wanted to have it known. They might think I have like some Kabbalistic safer than reading from here. This is a Mikros Gedolos. It's the one... Yeah, Chever knows I have this one because this is what Rav Nosson Tzvi, Zechet HaDikash Baruch Hu, used to use. This is a Mikros Gedolos. This is in all worlds. Litvish, Hasidish, Svardi, Ashkenazi. We all use the Mikros Gedolos. Arachayim HaKadosh. Rabbi David Abu Chazera. Some of the Chevra have heard these stories probably. I don't know which stories. I know. I could tell you. I could sit there for the next 2 hours telling personal stories about Rabbi David. I trust him with my life because of his Torah that he has, and that he therefore can change nature if he wants. My fifth child, Uriel Nosson Tzvi, is only in this world because of Rabbi David. I would never have had another child if it wasn't Rabbi David. The doctor said we can't have any more children. We shouldn't have any more children. We have incompatibility of the blood. It's not going to go well. There's nothing to do. There's no cure. And it's basically, you can't have any more children. Be happy you have four children. So I went to Rabbi David, and he told me, come back in a few months. And I sent someone to Rabbi David, and he said, come back in a few months. And then a few months later, he said, okay, now you can have a child.
And we have a healthy, beautiful child. I asked him, should we give a bracha to the boy? He just left. He was a boy. The laugh brought about the boy also, probably.
But I would trust him with my life. Oh, the doctors. Wait. Rabbi David is Torah. I told this story for sure, Rabbi David. You want to hear MS, true, 100%. This goes back years. A very close Talmud, like a son, Chaim Gedalia Feibush. Howie Feibush. He graduated DRS 2005, so it's a few years ago. He was in Yeshiva in the Tavarie. You understand what it's... And his father, years before, was sick with cancer. They had to remove one of his lungs. He was not a smoker, but he had lung cancer. He's doing well, and then, unfortunately, the cancer came back. January of 2007. And the doctors here in New York gave him no chance. Nothing to do, just live out a few months to live. One doctor said there's a new experimental treatment in Pittsburgh. If you want, you might extend your life a few months. His family decided to do it. It was seven rounds of chemotherapy. He was two rounds in. And I was in Eretz Yisrael January of 2007, two rounds into the seven-round experimental treatment that might extend his life a few months. Probably not, most doctors feel. I'm in with Rabin on a Tuesday night in his office. And I tell him, Rabin, I don't know if you heard about Chaim Gedalia, Howie's father, Yeshua ben Chaya, davened for him for years. Dr. Josh Feibush, he was a tzaddik in our community, like nobody knew. Tzaddik, lamed vavnik. The chesed he did, the Torah he learned, like lamed vavnik. His father, every Friday night after the Suda, he would go to sleep after the Suda, a few hours, at Chatzoy Salayla, wake up and learn all night till Shachris. This was a Yid who, when he moved into the Five Towns, I'll just tell you where he's holding, just understand. He moved into the Five Towns, he went to Beth Shalom the first Shabbos in jeans. He didn't know you're not supposed to do that. Hemis. And he was learning all night. He would learn in Shoyashiv all day. And he was a big doctor. And he was a Baal Chesed, supporting the whole entire community. People didn't even know. In every way. So I said, I don't know if you heard about Dr. Feibush. So he said, no, I know. And I've been davening for him every day. And he showed me, Rabin, he has a card with people he davens for. And one of them was him. And he says to me, and also Rabbi Cohen, I'm not going to do his voice. I'm just going to tell the story. He said... I could have ruined my voice. It's not good. Anyways. How's that be cool? No, okay. Anyways. He said this past Sunday was the yahrzeit of the Abir Yaakov, who was buried in Egypt. And he went for the yahrzeit together with Rabbi David on a private jet. I know who took them. And they went on this private jet to go daven by the Abir Yaakov. And he said, while I was there, he tells me, he gave Rabbi David the number, because I asked him, could you get a bracha from Rabbi David for Dr. Feibush? So he said, let me tell you what I did already. While he was there, at the Abir Yaakov, on the yurt of the Abir Yaakov, he gave the name to Rabbi David. And Rabbi David did his shtadchus on the grave. Chaver knows his shtadchus. Mamish, lay down, put your whole body on the grave to connect to the tzaddik, special way of tefillah. And davened for Yeshua ben Chaya. It's amazing. It's incredible. Wow. I was in Eretz Yisrael the rest of the week. Matzei Shabbos, I left. I got back on Sunday. I called my Talmud. We're talking. I said, how's your father, Rebbe? Nisim Gluyim. I said, what? He was three rounds, I don't remember if it was two or three. They did a check. They scanned him. He has zero cancer left in his body. Zero. Zero experimental treatment that all the top doctors in Sloan Kettering thought there's nothing you could do. Three rounds in to experimental treatment, gone. Nisim Gluyim. I say, Howie, Chaim Gedalia, when did they do the scan? When? He thinks this was, last Sunday. Oh, so basically minutes after Rabbi David davened for him at the Bir Yaakov. And you don't believe it's our Achayim that the world is kafel for Torah. It's MS. Torah runs the world. You want an awesome life. You want things to be great. You connect to Torah. You're one with Torah. It gives us a way of life, but it mamish has an effect on the world. Mamish could change the world.
I could keep on going. So many stories, Rabbi David. You don't know. I could just keep on going. Just keep on going. Yeah, okay, so we started here early, so we're allowed to go an hour later. Okay, good. So Lameisa, tell you another one. You ready? Another one? I was going to Rabbi David with a chevra. I was going. Need to walk around.
I'm
going.
Oh,
I was going. I was going to Rabbi David. And then we have to go to other Zadikim. I don't know. We're going to start. We'll just go Rabbi David. I was going to Rabbi David with a chevra. With a chevra. And one of the guys in the car, a few minutes before they get there, says, could I ask Rabbi David what he thinks if I should go to this particular college? He was supposed to go to Brandeis University. Extremely secular college, Hashem Yirachim. I said to him, listen, you can ask Rabbi David anything, but only ask him if you're willing to macabre what he has to say, and you're really going to take it to heart. Don't just ask him to ask him. And secondly, he's probably going to just tell you, I ask Ravina, talk to Ravina about it, because he doesn't know you, and he's not going to answer you, I don't think. He said, okay, fine. I didn't know if he was going to ask or not ask. We get to Rabbi David, first I speak to Rabbi David for a while, and then I was going to be the translator between all of these guys, because they don't speak Hebrew. So first, one of the guys came and whose family knows Rabbi David well, and they were talking, they were schmoozing. The next guy was going to be this guy that asked me this question in the car. Before he comes, and there's three other guys, it was a car, right? Myself and four talmidim. Rabbi David tells me, bring all the guys together. Before I want to talk to all of them, give them some chizik about something. It was weird, because we're in the middle of the short conferences. I don't know, whatever you call it. Yechidus with me. I don't know, whatever you call it. Anyways, Lameisa, he gathers them all together. And he says to them, I want you to know, I know after you learn yeshiva, which you should learn for a while, you might go on to college. If you go on to college, make sure you're somewhere where you're also learning. Not a college where all they have is secular studies. You need to be somewhere where you're learning as well, and Torah has to be a big part of the day as well. And he gives them a whole schmooze about this. Right when this guy is ready to ask, should I go to Brandeis University? Rabbi David preempts it with such a chizik. The guy's floored. I say, you got your answer. Rabbi David. I once went to Rabbi David. I had one last story. One last for Rabbi David. I once went to Rabbi David. I had somebody I was very close to, Talmud, and he was dating, he was a Kayin, and he was dating someone for a very long time. It was usher for him to marry. He thought maybe it was mutter. His Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael took him to Rav Yashiv Zatzal. This is going back years. And Rav Yashiv Paskin's Zatzar, Rav Nafta Greenblatt Paskin's Zatzar. Everyone, no one said what. He's dating her for 2 years. And his Rebbe from Yisrael and myself were trying to be mechazik the guy to no avail. I saw this Rebbe this morning somehow. Mom, so it's kedai I say the story. This morning I saw this Rebbe from Yisrael. He's in for a chasana. He calls me up in January. He was here visiting. He spent time. He said, Rabbi Cohen, we tried, we could dive in, but he's going to marry this girl. I go to Eretz Yisrael next week, I go to Rabbi David. And I've been to other tzaddikim about this, and they give brachas. I go to Rabbi David, I tell Rabbi David the situation. He starts giving brachas, and he starts quoting psukim with this guy's name, like crazy Rashi Tevos. And then he looks up, and he looks at me, he says, okay, everything will be good very soon. This is what he says. That's what he says. So I look at him, and I say, okay, thank you. What are you supposed to say to that? I don't even know what to say to that, Amen, thank you. That was Thursday. I'm in Eretz Yisrael to Matzah Shabbos to get back Sunday. The next Thursday. Remember, this is 2 years we're trying. And the other Rebbe said, checkmate. The father of this boy calls me up, says we have to make a Seudas Adah. He broke up with the girl out of nowhere. Today he's happily married in a beautiful marriage with children. Shem Yitar Mitzvahs in incredible ways. Because the nature is kafuf to the tzaddik. And that's what we're saying over here. But let's get back to our Torah now. I could keep on going with so many more stories. My heart, I told you, this is Torah, but let's get to what I wanted to share. So the Tanai was that nature is subservient to Torah. That's the Tanai. So now, by the way, Pinchas ben Yara makes a lot of sense. Pinchas ben Yara could split the sea. And Moshe Rabbeinu should split the sea. But what? Now we don't understand something else. First of all, I didn't answer why this is now when it's being returned, but we'll get to that. We'll see something that came to me the morning of the bris. But also, now we have a question on the Medrash. The Medrash even stronger. Now that we understand what the Tanai was, why was the sea saying it won't split for Moshe? Why was the sea saying it won't split for Moshe if there was a Tanai that you're dependent and subservient and kaf of Latoira? You know why? Because there was no Kabbalah Satorah yet. There was no Kabbalah Satorah. So the sea said, I'll be kaf of Latoira. Because then why am I kaf of Latoira? When was Torah brought into the world? Kaidem loyal. We know the Medrash says, years and years before the world. Torah comes first. I'll be kaf of Latoira. But you, I'm day three, you're day six. Torah came before me. But you're after me. And you didn't get the Torah yet. What is Hashem? Hashem comes back and Hashem says, and puts his yamin, mimino esh das lamo, mimino is Torah, and say, no, see, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the one who already got Torah. This is the one who has Torah. This one, this is who I'm talking about. You could split for him. You're kafa for Torah. For Moshe Rabbeinu, you're kafa for Torah. And the sea split. And now we can understand something else, I believe. Why is this all going down and being taught to us when the sea is closing? If we understand that the sea wasn't going to split immediately at first when it split, it didn't split immediately because it had this whole discussion, because it didn't realize that Moshe was with Torah yet because there wasn't a Kabbalah Torah. But when it went back, and it needed to go back, because it didn't know when it was supposed to come back. Because maybe it was supposed to split for this Mitzrayim as well. It didn't know when it was supposed to go back. And there's a lot of Torah that I'm not going to explain right now. It was when Moshe reached out his hand. And that hand is Mimino Neteyas Yodcha Ayam. That hand that represents now Mimino, his Torah. And then it went back right away. That's when we saw the Tanai that it's Kafel for Torah. Because the first time it didn't split right away. It needed Hashem. When it went back, it was Kafel for Torah in the proper way. That's maybe Neteyas Yodcha Aliyam. Now we need this hand of Hashem. I know some of you guys are thinking. Some of you guys are thinking the following. Chaver, somebody in the back, go in the back room, bring me a Ksuvis Daf Samach Gimel. There's an art scroll shas back there. Some of you guys are thinking. Some of you guys are thinking, beautiful, Rebbe. That's awesome. It's a nice idea. It's beautiful Torah. But like this concept, and we try always here, that everything we learn on Erev Shabbos Kodesh is not just, hopefully, tremendous Torah, but also lessons of life and things we could implement and internalize. It's very important to me. In the back room, in the back corner, you'll find it. Can't find it? All you guys, go. So you say, Bayim, but this is beautiful, and I believe in Aruch Hayim, but this is only for tzaddikim. What, the Torah is ever kapuf to me? I've never seen it be kapuf to me. I learn. Rebbe, I learn. I finished a few mesachtas in my day. I made a siyum on Erev Pesach. I learned through Sefer Olam Amidos. You know, I finished some things in my day, and I'm trying. No, Samach Gimel, that's what I said. No, my ksuvas for my shas is in the shul because I learned ksuvas at night with someone. So we need from the art scroll in the back. But Samach Gimel is not in the first art scroll. What up? I love you. Anyways, so you say, what about me? First of all, number one, open up your eyes. You have no idea how much Torah has changed your life and the world is kaf of the Torah for you and how much good is going on in your life because of the Torah you're learning. Your eyes are just not open enough. There's so much that's kaf of Latoira in your life. Look at us. Look at the chus that we have to be here. And so much good that's in our lives that might be because of Torah. The second answer is maybe the emes is you're right. You have to be really connected to Torah. The Arachayim HaKadosh said it's not just a Torah. It's Torah ve'amleha, those who toil over Torah. Do we toil over Torah? Are we breaking our mamish, breaking ourselves over Torah? Are we sweating over it? Or I do it. I'm Yaitse Zayang. I learned a little bit today. We're sweating over it. My Amo B'Toyro. Again, we have other responsibilities, other things, not and span as man. But when we're doing it, and the amount, am I putting in as much time as I can? And when I'm doing it, am I fully engrossed in my Amo B'Toyro? Amelus is both time, and Amelus is when I'm there, I'm fully there. Nobody who checks their phone when you're learning is Amo B'Toyro, by definition. If your phone is on in your pocket and you even feel a ding, you're not Amo B'Toyro. You're not Amo B'Toyro. You have, if your phone has to be off, away, completely silent. If you feel your phone even, you're not Amo B'Toyro, because your mind's somewhere else. 100%. I'm telling you right now, you can quote me on that. You're not Amo B'Toyro if you just feel, not even look at your phone, if you feel your phone when you're learning. You can't be. You can't be Amo B'Toyro. Melus means I'm fully, it means again, a melus is how much time I put in. Am I putting in as much hours? Do I wake up early enough? Do I go to sleep late enough? Do I put in time? Being a star and whatever it might be, but I'm also when I'm in it, I'm fully in it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is in the world when I'm learning Torah. What a schus it is. That's when you could have a melus b'Torah. Make if there's one kabbalah you take upon yourself tonight. One that mamish my phone is away from me when I'm learning Torah. You don't have to, unless your wife is pregnant in your ninth month b'shat toyva. There's no other time one needs. It's no other time. What are you? Some big your brain surgeon that you're going to be on call? What do you need your phone for? For generations, nobody had their phone and everybody was fine. Everybody was fine. Suddenly, I need my phone 24/7 that someone needs to get in touch with me. Who am I? I'm nothing. You need your phone on. You need in case someone what? Nothing. You're learning in case nothing. So on Shabbos, I don't need it. And you're fine. Everyone's good. Everyone lives. Okay, if you're a Tzolom member, if you're a doctor, if there's a Vadam, those are the exceptions to the rule of people who need. Outside of those people, we're all fine. And you need your phone, and you need your phone by your side, because maybe a face is what? Nothing! Torah! Amelus b'Torah! So much on this. This could be what I'm about to say is a share with itself, but listen to this, right? We all know Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Amo B'Toyro. Somebody who sits and learns 12 years, comes to see his wife, just doesn't even go to say hello and turns around. It's not for our door. That's not for our door. Don't do that with your wife. Trust me. That's not for you or me or any of us. You spend time with your wife. A lot of time with your wife, have a friendship with your wife. We can't even understand who Rabbi Akiva and Rachel were. We're talking about Sadiqim, Tzikanios on levels like Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The Gemara compares Akiva to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not. You and I, we're not Moshe Rabbeinu. So, like, you could talk to your wife and spend time. You know how you could. You should. And have a beautiful relationship with her. And they did also. But we know the famous story, right? Rabbi Akiva. Rekiva is this nothing, this impoverished slave, nothing. And he falls in love, and Rachel falls in love with him. But Rachel's comes from this very affluent family. Kalbasavu, he's gonna pick for himself top yeshiva bacher. He's gonna pick for himself as a son-in-law. I don't want an Akiva. And when Rachel brings home Akiva, what does he say? Makes a neder. I'm not giving you a penny. Okay, we know the whole story, and they were living on terrible, they had nothing, straw, nothing, not even straw. I'm not going to go through the whole story. You guys know the story. If you don't know the story, so open a Gemara and Ksuvah, Samach Beis, and Beis, and Gimel, learn it, read it. It's a very important story. And eventually, Rabbi Akiva comes back with 24,000 Talmidim, these days, right? These days. Sfiras Haomer. And Rabbi Akiva says, "Emit Kabbal Savua, the Tzaddik." And at this time, what happened at this time already? Kabbal Savua started feeling bad for his daughter. right? Kabbalah Sevuah started feeling bad for his daughter. And this is after Rabbi Kiva already, when Rachel came and was kissing him and kissing by his feet, and he said, Shalish Shalchem Shalahi. We know all this. And Kabbalah Sevuah felt bad, and Kabbalah Sevuah wanted a tzaddik be not matir's neder, to annul the vow. So he comes to Rabbi Akiva, who's a tzaddik, he didn't recognize him, he didn't know it's his son-in-law. And he says, and he wants to be a matir the neder, and Rabbi Akiva looks at him and says, if you knew, if your son-in-law was a tzaddik like me, would you have ever made such a vow? He says, even if he knew one perek, if he knew one perek, one halacha, I wouldn't. It's okay, you know, the vows annulled because it's me, I'm Rabbi Akiva, right? I'm your son-in-law. It's a crazy story, right? So Tosfos asked the following question. There's a halacha that you can't be matir and neder on something that's nolad. Meaning, what is matering a neder? You try to look for a loophole that if you would have known this, you never would have made the neder, right? So then the neder is thrown out the window. But that can't be something that comes into existence later in life. Something that's nolad later. So Tosfos asks, Rabbi Akiva at the time when Kabbalah Sevuah made the neder was not a tzaddik and did not know any halacha. So how could he be matir neder? Something that's nolad, something that came into existence later. So listen to the Lashon of Tosfos. Crazy Lashon. Crazy Tosfos. This Tosfos is the biggest Musar Sefer in the world. Tosfos says, Kevan Shehalach LeBeirav. He already started going to the Beis Medrash. He didn't learn anything yet. But he started going to the Beis Medrash when he made this neder. The derech hu beholech lilmod, shenasa adam gadol. Someone who goes to learn will be sure become an adam gadol. So therefore, it's as if he was an adam gadol already. Just because he went to the Beis Medrash. Just go to the Beis Medrash. So Chevra, you're asking the question of the Heilig Magid of Mezrich. The Heilig Magid of Mezrich, he asks, I don't understand, it's just not true. How many of us go to the Beis Medrash and we don't become an Adam Gadol? How many Jews have gone and not become an Adam Gadol? Magid Mezrich answers, look at Tosfos. He says, you have to Heilig the Beis Medrash. What that means is Heilig and nothing else. If you go to the Beis Medrash, but you're also checking your phone, and you're also involved in the Chveshim, what the Yankees did, and you also know what's going on in the world of entertainment, and you're also in all different worlds at once, and I'm also, you know, once in a while looking in the Gemara. That's not Heilich LeBeis Medrash. But if you're Heilich LeBeis Medrash, you're fully engrossed, and that's everything to you, Nasa Adam Gadol. So you want that the world should be kafuf to you. You have to be Eimlei Torah. And then you're an Adam Gadol like Rabbi David B'Chazeira Shlita. And it could be kafuf to you. And this was Moshe Rabbeinu. This was Moshe Rabbeinu. We see this as well a little bit earlier in the Parsha. Earlier in B'Shalach. It's interesting, Lashon, when he splits the sea, the Pasuk says, Vata harem es matcho and eteyas yadcha. Harem, you think, means lift up, but if you look in the Kli Yakar, and he explains based on a medrash, I was going to read it, but not for now, it means get rid of your stick and use your hand. We said the hand is mimino, represents Torah. The stick is nisim from Hashem. The 10 makos were from Hashem. Now I want you to use your hand mimino, use Torah. Now I want you to use Torah. To show the world that you could split the sea with Torah. To show each and every one of us that we could have the most incredible life with Torah. That was Moshe's sin by Mei Meriva as well. When he hit the rock, he took the stick back. He took the stick back. The stick had Shem Hashem on it. It was Hashem doing the Nisim. You know what the Medrash says? He was supposed to learn Torah by the rock and show that Torah runs the world. And you learn Torah, the rock gives first water. He forgot the lesson for Gris Yamsev, went back to the stick. Look at the Lashon of there. I didn't bring up a Midbar, did I? No. But look in Parshas Chukas. Perchav Pazuk 20. Perchav Pazuk Ches. You'll see, he took the stick back. Instead of using his hand, which is what? Torah. However, that's our journey. That's the Torah of Kriyas Yamsuf that we left Pesach with into Yimei Svira to prepare for Kabbalah's Torah. Hashem wanted us to recognize not just CSC being split because of Torah, and recognize that Torah runs the world. Torah runs the Welt. Torah could have such an effect on every aspect of my life. When you have Torah, you have everything. Without Torah, you can't have anything. Because then the world swallows you whole. And look around. It used to be it wasn't so clear. In this day and age, it's so clear. You know, Corona, with all its difficulties and nisyonos and challenges, it also clarified a lot in the world that we live in. It clarified how despicable the world is. It clarified all the negative in the world and in the culture and society and so much that went on during this year in the world of liberalism, in the world of entertainment, in the world of sheker. But you can't blame it. That's a world without Torah. A world without Torah swallows you whole, and you're not even a person anymore. With Torah, we have clarity. With Torah, we have a way of life, and then the world is cuff of toss. We're above it! I'm above it! I'm above that world! I'm above nature! I'm above it all. And the Torah will, mamish, transform the world for me. The biggest koach in the world. Just to end with one more story. It was a lot more tiring, but it's late. There's so much to say. I heard this story. I've shared this one before also. Tonight, it's a repeat story night, but it's important stories. Tyra was new. So Weinberger said that all the time. You can repeat a story how often? Once a year? Once something like that? Tyra is once every 5 years. What does he say? I don't know. He has a certain when you're allowed. I don't know. Anyways, I heard this from Rav Ephraim Waxman, who heard it himself. Rav Ephraim Waxman was once in a car with a yid who, when he was talking, was an alter yid, and it came clear this yid learned in Radin by the Chavetz Chaim. You know, you hear the Chavetz Chaim, you think about, like, some people think, if you talk to like some, not us, but people, like Chavetz Chaim, you know, you're the Chavetz Chaim, like a Malach, he must have lived, I don't know, Chavetz Chaim. If you ask some of your younger siblings, when do you think Chavetz Chaim is? 1500s, 1600s, 1300s. Chavetz Chaim died in 1933. There are still Yidden alive today. There are still Yidden alive, probably very few, I don't know, that met the Chavetz Chaim. Very few. I got a bracha from Rav Yankel Lovish, Chassad Kosh bracha, who was a Rashiv in YU. I got a bracha from him at a bris when he was a sandik, and he got a bracha from the Chavetz Chaim. So I got a bracha from somebody who got a bracha from the Chavetz Chaim. Like, crazy. You hear that? The Chavetz Chaim. The people, not many. I saw someone showing me a video. I saw him, I'll show Chavetz if they want to see, a yid who was by Tish, by the Ish Kaidish. Still alive. Tish by the Ish Kodesh. Imagine what it would be to be by Tish by the Ish Kodesh. Anyways, back to Chavetz Chaim. So what happened was, so Ephraim Waxman looks at this yid and says, could you tell me something about the Chavetz Chaim, something you saw firsthand? Nah, you know, it was the end of his life. He was sick. Tell me, you have a story. So I have one story. He says, I was learning in Radin. The Chavetz Chaim hardly came to the yeshiva at this point. One day I got a letter in the mail that my sister was very sick and the doctors gave up hope. Could you get a bracha from the Chavetz Chaim? You know this from Rav Waxman? Of
course. Okay, of course.
I have the Talmud Muzuk of Rav Waxman. Moriarty here. I should have, you know, so of course you know, but. So you'll correct me.
He doesn't know that.
We all know it. You'll correct me if I say anything wrong. You probably know the every word that way he says it. I don't know. But anyway, so. He got a letter that his sister was very sick. Could you go to the Chafetz Chaim and get a bracha? And at first, he had a pachad moira to go to the Chafetz Chaim. He couldn't go. And a few days later, he says, he got a telegram. The situation's got even worse. There's very little hope. Could you go to the Chafetz Chaim? So he decided he had to go to the Chafetz Chaim. He goes to the Chafetz Chaim's house. He takes the letter, he takes the telegram, and he knocks on his door. The Chafetz Chaim answers the door. And he couldn't get words out of his mouth. He couldn't even ask the Chafetz Chaim for the bracha. He was in such awe, such pachad. He just hands him the letter and hands him the telegram. The Chafetz Chaim looks at it and reads it and looks back and says, "You're a yeshiva bachar. I'm not giving you a bracha. You don't need a bracha from me. Just take upon yourself something and you'll see, and that's chus. That's what's going to be that your sister will have a refuah. But I don't need to give you a bracha." He said he took upon himself to learn 15 more minutes a day ben astarim. And within a few days, he got a telegram that his sister had a complete refuah and needs some gluyim. The doctors don't understand. This is what this yid told Rav Chaim Waxman. Of course, now we understand the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's the Koyach of Torah. The Koyach of Torah, nature was his sister wasn't going to live. But Torah tells it, no, you're kaf to me. I don't care, you were day three, I was day six, I got Torah was before you. You're kafuf to me. Torah runs the world. Chaver, let's not stop learning. Let's not stop growing. Let's not stop. Why is it? Because Torah, as we've said so many times, Torah is Hashem. It's His personality, it's His chachma, it's Hashem. As we know from the Tanya, every time I learn, I'm hugging Hashem. So it's of course it's Torah that controls the world. But really, why? Because that's our way to connect to Hashem, who obviously controls the world. Mitzvah, we should be zayicha during these Yimei Sfira. As we prepare for Kabbalah's HaTorah, to strengen our Limud HaTorah, to strengen our Amelus Bar. Everyone here, let's take upon something that I'm going to have more Amelus. Whether, most importantly, with our phones, or a little more time, or an extra Seder, something during these days. And you'll see the whole world Mimavatal to you. Until we're Zaycheh, to just see Gila Shechina with the Gula Shleimo, Tches HaMesim for all that we're saying, the Shir Lil Nishmas and the Gantz, all that need Refuos and Yeshuas, and everything will be B'Shalom, B'Simcha, with the Gula Shleimo, with the Yechakeinu, B'Meir, B'Meir.